Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from 1 Chronicles, go back to our study of Jabez after last week's break for remembering Independence Day. So out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.'" And verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Today, as I mentioned, we want to pick back up with our look at Jabez, and in particular, at his third request of God, that your hand would be with me, or another translation says that your hand would be upon me. It always reminds me of a trip a number of years ago when Linda and I visited Busch Gardens in Tampa with Nathan and Amy and our, at the time, our only granddaughter, Hannah. It was a beautiful and glorious day, and it was made even more special seeing all the exhibits and the animals through the eyes of our precious granddaughter. At one point during our visit, we came upon one of those huge playground areas. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's built above the walkways, and it's had ladders on it and slides and rope walkovers and hiding places, all towering high above that walkway below. By the excited sounds that began to come from Hannah when she saw that and watching her dash toward that apparatus, we knew we were going to be there for a little while. Hannah at the time was about 5 years old and under her own power and by her own initiative, not needing my help, although, as you can imagine, I was climbing right behind her close at hand in case of a misstep. But she began to climb one of the ladders that led to a landing. And then she continued to make her way up on the wooden platforms of that tower, up the stairs and up the ladders, around and around and around to the very top. You could tell from her face that she was very pleased with herself and what she'd just done. But now, at the top of that tower, she stopped. For there, right in front of her, was a rope bridge that spanned the walkway below, leading to the tower on the other side, and eventually to the way back down to her parents and her Mimi waiting below. It was one of those precarious-looking rope bridges that you see in the movies, swinging side by side and spanning gorges high above the rivers below. I mean, it must have looked that way to Hannah, at least at that moment. She could see her mommy and her daddy and her Mimi below her through the ropes as they encouraged her to go on ahead, to walk across the rope bridge, but she couldn't move. She stood there, frozen, afraid to move forward, afraid to move back. She was stuck in that moment. I suspect, though, that all of us have been at a similar point in our lives at one time or another, stuck. Maybe we find ourselves at such a point today. Standing in front of an intimidating expanse of rope bridge we know we need to cross, and if our fear of the height with seemingly no safety net below it isn't enough to stall our journey, we often find that the winds are too strong, the rain too intense, the thunder and lightning, all the gathering storm clouds and uncertainty around us and ahead of us in the days ahead are too great for us to even consider taking that next uncertain step. Perhaps we find ourselves at a point where we're having trouble making ends meet in life and we don't know what our next step would be, or a family member is struggling to find their way. Another failure in our lives has left us with a feeling of hopelessness, perhaps, for the future. We've just lost a job we always loved and things, well, whatever reason, didn't work out. Maybe we failed again, trying to live up to the impossibility of meeting the expectations of others. That's near impossibility, as I mentioned, but we try it. So now what next? Perhaps an illness has hit us or someone we love, and we don't think we can take another step, and we don't know which way to go for healing or for help if we could. We're struggling with something that someone did to us, or maybe a mistake that we made that we can't get beyond. Things like all of that have a way of dampening our enjoyment of the present and negatively coloring the view of our future. Whatever it is, at whatever point we find ourselves, there are times in our lives that we just can't seem to find the power to go on, to step out, to try to make it across or over whatever gorge or valley, mountain or challenge that we're facing. It may even be an opportunity that we don't see that's ahead of us. If we could only see it like that and find a bit of help to help us through it. But if we have to step out under our own power, well, we can't do it. Or we can't do it right. And so we're stuck. We're stopped. But then there's the example of Jabez that we should remember. And we need to remember. The name Jabez, which he had been given, meant, as we know, pain, or he will cause pain. And you remember that he carried that name at a time in Hebrew history when names were thought to define one's future, and in many cases were allowed to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And by Hebrew standards of the day, Jabez was a loser. But we also saw that Jabez was a bit of a rebel. No, maybe he was a real rebel. And refused to accept what the culture of the day said about him and his future and what that name forecast for him. He wanted more from life, but not by his power, but by God's power. Jabez had heard about a God who, in the past, had freed his forefathers from slavery, had rescued them from powerful enemies, had caused the seas to part and water to flow from rocks to refresh his people, and had led them to the promised land. And Jabez believed that this same God wanted to take his ordinary life, if it was even that, by his name, and make it extraordinary, to help him over, around, and through difficult moments, to be all he could be, all in God's power and with God's hand upon him. And so he asked God, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." We studied that the first week. "And enlarge my territory." We looked at that the next week. And then the third prayer, the third part of his prayer that we're looking at today, "that your hand would be with me, that your hand would be upon me." Jabez prayed that God's hand would be upon him. He believed that there was power in the Father's touch for his life, the power of the Father's touch, of God's touch. Maybe you don't feel it right now. Maybe it's been a while since you've felt the hand of God on you and felt a peace in your soul knowing his hand was upon you. But haven't you known it before? Haven't you felt it before? Haven't you felt it in a parent or a spouse or someone else who cared and who stayed up with you all night while you were sick? Or a friend who came alongside you and stood beside you when all hope seemed to vanish and no one else was around? Haven't you felt it in the hand, someone's hand holding yours at a difficult moment in your life? Haven't you heard it in a voice of encouragement reminding you how much God loves you, cares for you, how much they care for you, and how much God has planned for you and your future? Or maybe you felt it in someone's prayer for you, for healing, for comfort, for strength. If we stop long enough and just pause to look up, we can each remember that at one time or another recently, we have all felt the Father's touch. A touch we need to feel again today, tomorrow, every day. Always. For there's power in his touch to carry and guide us into new opportunities under the renewing and refreshing skies of promise that he has for us, which always follow difficult moments that we go through with him and his hand upon us. So there we stood, Hannah and I, at the top of that huge playground tower, high above the walkway in Busch Gardens. Hannah standing what seemed very nervously at the edge of that rope bridge, and me right there behind her as she looked back and forth across the length of that intimidating expanse of rope bridge. After standing there for a moment, reflecting on her situation and no doubt overwhelmed, at least it seemed that way, by anxiety she was feeling, she looked back at me with a knowing look over her shoulder. Then she reached back and up toward me in a gesture which was asking her granddaddy to help her, to touch her, to put my hand upon her. And so, taking both of her hands in mine, she did something she'd never done before. And with my touch, with my hands upon her, and now dependent upon my power, which she trusted because of her past experiences with me, together we enlarged her territory and crossed the rope bridge together. Jabez asked that God's hand would be with him, and he knew that it would be. Hey, what rope bridges are you standing before today? You know in your better moments that God is there to help you across them into all the possibility, into all the opportunities that he has stretched out before you, all into the sunshine of a brand new day for you with him. So let me suggest that you, that I, just look up, reach out, and take his hand in yours and move forward together with him. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you for their lives. I thank you that we are right here at this moment. But it's a moment you want us to step out into something new, into another day, into another moment, to continue to become all that you created us to be able to touch the world around us, and to help to make a difference in lives around us, and a difference in our lives, to become all that you created us to be. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder, Jabez. Thank you for the reminder that you always want to enlarge our territory. Thank you for the reminder that in the midst of our walk and stepping out, your hand will always be upon us. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.